Gosh, I almost hate interrupting that song, huh? That's a great song. Welcome one and all to Family Worship Center in downtown Newcastle, Pennsylvania. How are you all? Now understand, this is a place where, place of peace, and boy, is this nice and cool, right? So I tell you, let's give a sign of praise for this wonderful air conditioner. If any of you thought, geez, I'm really not blessed and highly favored, walk out in the hallway for a few minutes and feel that heat. Remember, that was last year this time with us inside here. So praise God. Praise God for that. I'd like to welcome you all here today. Major thank you to Pastor Chris and Pastor Kelly, who is taking a very, very, very well-deserved rest. They'll be back with us next week. Pastor Chris will be refreshed. Pastor Kelly made sure of that. So he will be refreshed. He will be ready with fresh anointings and fresh words. A couple of announcements I want to share with you today. Number one, we are changing our Wednesday night services. Starting the Wednesday after Labor Day, Wednesday, September 8th, we will be starting our service. We'll be starting our with prayer at 6 p.m. over in the upper room. So please come. It'll be the same prayer we've been doing on Wednesday nights, about an hour. We're then going to come into the sanctuary and have some light praise and worship and a word from Pastor Chris. This is going to be replacing what we've been doing with the going deeper. So it's going to be more of a weekly thing, weekly teaching, getting more involved in some of the kingdom teachings and principles that will help us grow and become stronger in the faith. We decided to do this because God really is leading us to expand our ministry. We're looking at really being a house of restoration. And the biggest part of having guests come is being prepared. And preparation is understanding how to do things, when to do things, understanding what God is doing and making sure that you're helping God's work, not hindering it. So it's going to be phenomenal training, phenomenal teaching as we get ready for all these folks that are coming. So we're super excited. Now, here's the really cool part. While this is occurring, we're going to be having the Jaywalkers. That's for our youth. No, they will not be walking up and down the streets trying to not get hit by cars, but they'll be going deeper and deeper into what it is to be a Christian. And just a phenomenal group. Some of the startup has been incredible. Just bless Kristen for what she's doing. She puts a lot of work into it. Something else that's super exciting. We've been having our Power Fit classes with Pastor Kelly on Saturday mornings. Well, we're going to move that. So starting on Monday, September 13th, we're going to be resuming the Power Fit classes at 6 p.m. here in the church. Question where, but because we'll be doing drinks and light snacks apparently. So I'm definitely coming for this one because you're getting snacks. I'm here, right? So amen to that. Couple things real quick. We knew last week was a challenge, wasn't it? Had the power, you know, we had the water out across the street and, you know, just tough. You know, we had the extreme tour in town and, you know, they had some struggles. I want to give you something about what God does that's amazing. So those of you who don't know, when the extreme tour came into town, prior to that, they were up in Akron. In Akron, outside of a meeting tent, their van and all of their equipment was stolen. So when they came down here from Akron to here, they were truly coming in faith. They didn't have their sound systems. Many of them didn't have their instruments. It was a miracle they got here. Well, while they're here, they just simply turn it to the Lord in prayer. So that night, you know, we all prayed for them. That next day, they got a call that they found the equipment in the truck. Almost all the equipment was there. Praise God. The van, unfortunately, was burned, but still, that can be replaced. Some of that equipment could not be. But let me share a little story. So Harry, who's one of the leaders of the Extreme Tour, you know, left the event here early and went up to Akron to go pick up the equipment. So he's up there. He's at a gas station. A lady's there stressed out because she couldn't put gas in the car. Just happened, Harry had an $80 gas card in his pocket and says, here, I'll be happy to do this for you. So in the conversation, he finds out that the lady is dying of cancer. At the gas pump, the lady accepts Jesus as her Lord and Savior. At the gas pump. not knowing whether she would be alive the following week. Don't tell me God don't got a plan. Harry had to go back. Hey, he had an assignment. That's why he went back to Akron. He went back to Akron. God used that negative. God used that adversity to turn it to his glory. So my encouragement to you is God will take those struggles in our life. God will take those things that seem like the worst thing ever, whether it's COVID, whether it's a, whether it's a downturn in a job, whatever it is, God will take that and will turn it to his glory if you let him. Because we know one thing about God. We learned this last week. What is God? God is good. Say God is good. What is the devil? Okay, God is what? Devil? Can God be bad? So, if it's bad, it's the devil, and God, and by the way, Jesus' name, Jesus' blood trumps that, therefore, it's all good. So even when bad happens, it's still good, so hallelujah. So why don't we just pray, so let's, tonight, I just want us really to dig in. I know we're small in numbers, but I know that, you know what, God, if two or more gathered, God is here. So Father, I thank you for this family. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of this people. I thank you, Lord, for what you are bringing to Newcastle in the Family Worship Center. We thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of our pastors. We thankful for the faithfulness of all those people that serve in this house. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and praise for all that happens. Father, I pray for this people. I pray a blessing over them. I pray, Lord, that you will just enlighten them tonight, that the word that Brother Dan brings, Father, will just explode in their minds, Father. Father, we thank you because you are who you say you are, which makes us who you say we are, and we're going to do what you told us we are going to do. So, Father, we turn this service over to you. We open up this day, Father, with the praises of Judah that'll pierce the heavens. And, Father, we just give you the glory, the honor, and praise, for we as a people are blessed and highly favored, and we know that because the death of your Son and his resurrection sealed it once and for all. So, Father, we just turn this over. We give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah and amen.
Are you ready to worship tonight?
We're choosing celebration, breaking into freedom. You're the song of our hearts. We cast aside our shadows, trust you with our sorrows. You're the song of our hearts. Dancing to the rhythm of your heart. We're rising from the ashes to the stars. You're the joy, 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 lighting my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I'm running. You're the joy, 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 lighting my soul. soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I'm running into your arms.
You're the joy.
You're the joy, 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 lighting my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I'm running into your arms of love. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I want to hear you on this.
Whoa. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I'm running into your arms of love. You're the joy, 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 lighting my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole.
Well, praise God. Okay, let's try it. Praise God. Aaron. All right, praise. Before service, I got here way extra earlier than I've ever been here before, and stuff just was going wrong. This thing here, which provides the little cool sound during the slow songs, wasn't working. So I talked to Jason. We were trying to work it out. It still wasn't working. Well, then I found out the stream wasn't working, which was probably the same thing. So then we had to figure it out instead of just ignoring it because we didn't really need this. We finally got it done, and yeah. So I believe it's Satan fighting against us because there's going to be stuff happening tonight. So I am hoping you're ready to receive tonight because. God's here and he wants to work in your lives. Those who are here and those who are on Facebook, God's ready to move right where you are. So.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Out in the living waters, you're the wellspring, you're the stirring, you're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud, come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper still, you're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands and the Lord is
eyes are open.
Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hands, give the Lord. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love,
you're calling me deeper.
You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, into your love.
There's freedom in the water. There is healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. And we'll never find the end. There is freedom in the water. There is healing in the water. Oh, Jesus, you're the river. And we'll never find the end.
You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Into your love, into your
fails, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve owns only to triumph. My God will never fail.
Thank you, Lord.
My God will never fail. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
'Cause I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good, and you turn it for good.
Sing it to him.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good, you turn it for good.
I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Father, to you are.
to your heart. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Yes, who I am.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us,
you are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Good Father, who you are, who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, you are so wonderful, Lord. You are so awesome. Be awesome in this place, Lord. Work in us, work through us, Lord. Give us the victory, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence, Lord. I ask you to just fill this place even more. Just allow us to receive, Lord, from you. Let us receive from you, Lord, right now, just your presence, Lord. And as I bring forth the word tonight, that you just speak to people's hearts, change their lives, let them be open, receptive to what you have, Lord, that you would be glorified through everything that we say and do. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. This is kind of a continuation from the last time I preached. I do want to give this little commercial beforehand. Has anybody seen The Chosen, the movie, the TV series? Oh, wow, you guys are missing a lot. There's two seasons worth of it, and it's crowdfunded, and it is about Jesus and how he brought together disciples and how he, his teachings and everything. Hope and I just got done with season two, which is seven things. I don't know if anybody, I mentioned this before, I think when I spoke about this, anybody know about IMDb? It's an internet place for TV and movies so you can rate them. And usually something's good is 7 and above, to out of 10. The Chosen, and again, IMDb is not a Christian database. Not at all. They give The Chosen 9.6 out of 10. That's how good it is. For you to get it, to watch, it's a little tricky. Just look up The Chosen and TV series. And it'll take you to something like Angel Studios, and you can watch it. Now, if you try to do it on, on Hulu or Roku or whatever, Hulu, but Roku or something like that, you'll probably end up paying for it. You'll get to watch the first one free. What Hope and I did was I had the app on my phone, and I would start playing it on the phone, and I know some of you aren't high-tech, but we airplayed it to our TV, and we watched the whole thing like that. You could also get your computer, I believe, with this app and plug it in to your computer if you have, if you don't have an ancient computer. what is that? For free? Okay, it's available on Peacock, Randy said. So The Chosen, now they kind of do some twists in there that aren't necessarily biblical, but I don't see anything necessarily wrong with them. But they added, they can't do every, they're doing every moment of Jesus' day. The way he responds to kids, the way he responds to his disciples, we don't really hear of him joking with the disciples. Or, we kind of see him playing with the kids, but on this he's like joking. He'll cut jokes every once in a while. And I believe, God has a sense of humor. We know that. So, it's awesome how everything is shown. And it's like, once you see it, it's like, wow. So, don't be afraid that, it's filmed in Salt Lake City with the Mormons. They have a set. That's what they use. But I don't believe this is a Mormon thing. This guy did it in the church. And did a production in the church, and then it grew from there. He put it into a TV series. Wow. So it is incredible, and if you can, take time and watch it, and it's wow. So The title of this sermon is Victory Through Jesus in Every Aspect of Our Lives. And I want to get two things away, out of the way, so I'm not really going to stress it. I'm going to stress it now and just remember that. First of all, Satan's purpose is John 10:10, which it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we know Satan's working around us. He's working in people around us to mess us up. He wants a downfall of us as Christians, and he's constantly working, try to do that. So I want to make sure we, you know, realize Satan's at work. You know, just a reminder. Everybody should know that. But number two, I'm not minimizing any of the struggles, the hurts that I'm going to be talking about tonight. You know, there are many people that have scars and hurts from their past things that has happened. Some of people are struggling with anxiety. Some people are struggling with depression. Some are those scars from the past. Some people are struggling with physical ailments or issues. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. They're true. They're legit things, but I know that I know that I know God wants us to have the victory in those things. God chooses to heal some of those, maybe even half. We don't know any particular number, but God allows us to have these struggles in our lives, but we still can live a victorious life. Amen. We can still live, and I'll get to that in a sec, but whether God chooses to heal our mental or physical issues, struggles, God's still God, and he can give us victory. So, I know Dale heard me, but no matter what, if we have the physical or mental health issues, God wants us, whether God takes it away or doesn't take it away, God wants us to have victory. God's provided the victory. Jesus has provided the victory, and we need to have victory in those things. Amen. We're never going to forget some of the scars that happen, but we can live in victory. Amen. I posted today, well, let me get ahead of myself. There's two choices. We need to choose to live our lives into struggles, or we need to accept victory for our lives to receive those that victory daily. Because if we don't wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm accepting your victory right now, and if you want to heal me from it, you can heal me from it, but I'm going to accept my victory. Today, as I go through today, I'm going to live in victory with this thing that you won't take away. But help me have that victory. And I believe, I know that we can have that. I posted this on church's Facebook page today. Time doesn't heal all wounds. God does. And I like that. I like that. You know, because time just kind of, I think, lessens the memory some of it. And we need God's healing to get past these things. Again, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda. But the second half is where the power is. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. King James says more abundantly. What I kind of picture is more abundantly to me is if you have my bottle of water, and someone's pouring into this bottle of water, and they just don't stop, and all of a sudden it's coming out, and it just keeps on coming out. You know, that's what I believe to the full. Full is just filling it up, but more abundantly means it's to the top and over. And I believe that's what God has for us. While I have this. 1 John 5. Three through five for 1 John 5. In fact, this is love for God to keep his commandments. If his commands are not burdensome, for Here's one of the key parts. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the person who believes in Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. We are overcomers. And we have to remember that. Paul, this was one of the biggest examples that I had in regards to God not providing a healing of whether it's a physical or mental healing. Paul's was, they said he had a thorn. He said in one of his writings, I have a thorn in my flesh. We can only speculate what that thorn was. Some people, a lot of scholars say it was his eyesight, whether it was cataracts or something else. They said it that because later in another later on writing, he says, oh, see how little, something about how little my words are. So that either was because he's just getting old or he had very little light in the prison that he was in. But we don't know. We don't know if it was, something physical, you know, something else. It says, in there, and we're not going to read the whole thing. Where do we go here? But yeah, I'm going to start from the beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. And this is Paul writing to the city in Corinth. Even though I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain and say no one will think more of me than warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. In order to keep me from being conceited, he believes that was the reason he wasn't freed from this thorn in the flesh. In order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger for Satan to torment me. Some scholars say it was actually a person or people that was, because it says messenger, but doesn't necessarily mean a person. It could be something else. So there's a lot of different things there. There was a meme that was going around for many years, and I saw it a couple months ago. It was the last one about Paul was writing in this the prison cell, and he was writing about the thorn in the flesh, and there's SpongeBob right beside him, and SpongeBob was his thorn in the flesh. And we know that's not true, but I thought that was funny. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace, I love this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul, back to Paul saying again, therefore I boast with all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in my in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. If you see one other, and I'm probably jumping ahead here, but Paul and Silas was in jail, and there was a big noise happening, and they had to go check the guards or whoever went to check out. There, Paul and Silas was having a big praise and worship. You know, they were singing hymns, they were praying. They were having a nice, powerful worship. You know, they could have sat there and said, I don't belong in this jail. You know, get me out of this jail. God, oh, woe is me. You know, help me, God, get out of here. But they didn't. We're going to look at the following things tonight. God's character, we're going to briefly hit on. God's character, our sometimes wrong perception of God. Man's character, man's response, and how God wants us to respond. Luke chapter 15, we're only going to read a couple of verses here. This is about the prodigal son. A lot of us know him, but for those who don't know the story, this guy had at least two sons that we know of from the writings. The youngest son said, Dad, I don't want any more of this. Give me my inheritance. And the dad graciously gave it to him. And he went away, squandered all of his stuff. Next thing you know, he's starving, and he goes to a farm, and he's working with the pigs. And he ended up sleeping with the pigs because he had no place to lay. And he kept on saying to himself, like, this is worse than whatever my dad was, whatever I was perceiving was wrong with being wrong. Because sometimes we're in situations, and if, of course, teenagers, I don't know if this guy was a teenager, he was probably a teenager, young 20s, we picture it, but he might not have been. He's probably thinking, his dad's wrong on this, dad's wrong on this, I'm right, he's wrong, I just need to get out of here. So he kind of said, well, it's better to go back as a servant to be a servant for my father than it would be just being here. And so then he went back, and this was the result, in chapter 15 of Luke, verse 20 and 21. So he got up, the prodigal son, and went to his father. But while he was still a way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "For I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Great story. I believe the father probably was out there every day looking in the horizon, waiting for that son to come back. But if you see this story, sometimes God lets us, sometimes our fathers let us do stuff that we're going to get in trouble with, because sometimes we have to learn our own lesson. He didn't go after him and say, "I'm going to drag you home." He didn't say you can't go off in the first place, but he's just probably hoping and praying, "Oh, come back. You know, I just want him to come back." He sees him, he runs, hugs him, kisses him, and receives him in. And the son's like, you know, comes to him humbly and apologizing. In Luke chapter 15 also, but the beginning of the chapter, it's a parable. This is a bunch of parables by Jesus, and it's about the parable of the lost sheep. Verses just four, five, and six says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? He started out talking about the sheep. One of the 100 sheep went astray. And he's the people he's talking to in the parables is, you know, he's saying, you know, the 99 is important, but that one, he's lost. I need to find him. I need to bring him back. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. The Holy Spirit's constantly working around our loved ones. We need to pray around our loved ones that are not saved. Amen. Our friends, our coworkers who are not saved, we should pray for them. That God just reveals to them, you know, because they're in the world and they're loving the world, so they think. But I've heard, you know, Facebook's good things sometimes and bad things sometimes. And then you see people like just kind of whining on Facebook and saying how horrible their life is. And you knew they were people that came to church before and they were, you know, but they're not in church. They're not serving God. And, you know, now they're struggling. Luke chapter 7, we're going to read the whole thing, 36 to 50. It's about the sinful woman washing Jesus' feet. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house. He reclined at the table. A woman from the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him with her at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. So we see the beginning of the story. This is man's response to something that was so actually precious to God. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus, even though he said this to himself, this Pharisee, Jesus knew his thoughts. And he answered him and said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, said Simon. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 150. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one would love him more? Simon replied, suppose he won with the bigger debt. And Jesus says, you judged correctly. He then turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into this house. You didn't give me any more water for my feet. The purpose of that is when someone came into your house, you gave water. Because you're walking with sandals on. You might be walking barefoot. You're walking in the house. And it's supposed to be, houses are supposed to be clean atmospheres. And he was at the table. So he should have had water be able to wash his feet. And the host didn't do that. He was probably worried about all these other things. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any oil on my head, but she has poured perfume, on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. All the other guests were said amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sin? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Man, coming in and coming up with the attitudes, the thought process of what God's supposed to be like. Luke chapter 10, we see the story of Mary and Martha. Martha had opened up her home to him, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at his feet. All she was doing was listening to him, basking in Jesus' presence. Martha, on the other hand, was busy, busy, busy. Listen, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I have to get this done. And those things are good, but we got to take time for Jesus. You know, we need to take time for God. And Jesus rebuked, and I believe he rebuked in a loving way, Martha, saying, you know, and this is verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So we see with God, God has many titles. If you look at the Hebrew, there's a lot of names for him, and I just want to kind of mention some. It's Adonai, which means Lord or Master. Yahweh, which is Lord or Jehovah. Then you have Jehovah Ra, which means the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. If you think about God as our Father, like we sang about, it's hard to picture a perfect Father, because a lot of us didn't have perfect fathers. I don't know if there is a perfect Father out there. Even if you think your Father is perfect, there's probably some things that he's not perfect, but God is our perfect Father. And if you look what a perfect Father is, he's loving, yet he corrects us. He allows us to be an individual, whether we choose the right path or make our right decisions. He wants us to desire to be around us. A perfect hero, or a perfect father, is a superhero to his children, one who rescues them in time of need. Good father. That's what God is. God wants to give us so much things in our life. And so many times we're just afraid to ask. And it's a shame that we don't ask. You have a headache. Oh, let's take some ibuprofen or Tylenol. We're not praying. Nothing against taking Tylenol or ibuprofen. I'm just saying. But so many times we go to the doctor on certain stuff, or we go to medicine, you know, Advil or whatever, instead of going to Dr. Jesus. You know, Jesus wants to heal us. But so many times we, you know, respond in a different way. Point number two is about mankind. We respond to God's many ways. We make a lot of excuses. We have lots of good reasons why we do what we do. You look at Adam and Eve. All they had to do was not eat from the tree. Wow. You can do anything you want. Just don't do that. You know, and then they're like, oh, but, you know, Satan comes along and he tempts them. And they're like, well, it does look really good, they're probably saying to themselves. And maybe Satan is right that it didn't really mean that we, you know, going to get in trouble. And they did it. That's human beings. You know, think about the children of Israel. This is just baffles me, but I could see that with, you know, if we know what mankind is. They're in slavery in Egypt. They're slaves building bricks. They're building stuff, whatever. Servants of probably rich people, whatever. They're there in a bad situation, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And they're crying out to God. Well, then God gives them an answer, which was Moses. And you know, they were able, after everybody should know that the story, as they're leaving the promised land. You know, after seeing all these miracles God performed, they go to the water and they're like, great, we're going to die out here. We can't get across this water. We're going to die. Complain. They're out in it. Once they crossed over, they're traveling. Oh, we don't have, you know, water or, you know, or food. Well, then, you know, God provides that for them. Then the manna isn't good enough. I mean, can you imagine? God made the perfect food. And it probably wasn't pizza, because it probably would have been bad in the desert. Some people's perfect food would probably be ice cream. But I would have loved to taste that, whatever the manna was. But he provided this. Then another time they were complaining before that, the water there, and Moses got all bent out of shape. You know, hit the rock, and water came out of a rock. Moses goes up and hangs out with God, and that's where he's getting his Ten Commandments, and he comes down, Moses comes down, and they're just out of control. They've seen all these miracles. They've seen them all. There's people that used to be in church that's seen miracles. They've seen changed lives. And they have a reason why. I don't know. You know, why are they not in church? You know, I could think of a lot of people right offhand that when they were here, you know, or not, the other churches I've attended, they were on fire for God. And all of a sudden, stuff came up. And next thing you know, they were here for every service. And then now they don't want anything to do with the church. That's mankind. We kind of just make our own things. Sometimes we're comfortable in our situations. Sometimes, and we want to stay in a situation. Sometimes, I think miserable people like being miserable. And so we decide that. So sometimes I believe we have those physical and mental health issues, and we kind of like, well, I have it, and I just kind of like complaining about it, you know, or whatever. You know, sometimes we think our issues and our struggles are not worthy of God's healing. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to bother God about this. Does it say in the Bible you have to wait till the issue is this big or this big or this big? No, we're supposed to go to Him in prayer and pray about it. We pray about it. You know, sometimes God doesn't heal us. Sometimes we struggle, but God wants to give us the victory. These excuses, these being complacent in our sickness and or mental health issues, anxiety or whatever. Again, God sometimes doesn't heal you, but God wants to have the victory. God wants you to have the victory. If we look at the prodigal son, he walked away proud. That's how that's how we roll sometimes. We're proud. We go away. I know what I'm doing, God. I'm going to go away and I'm going to do my own thing. The sheep wandered. This one sheep wandered away. Sinful woman, her response, it wasn't about her response, but the Pharisee's response, started complaining in his head. What's going on here? Jesus is allowing her to touch him. What is going on? That's how we do it. One of the things that I really totally dislike about Facebook is someone will sell something on Marketplace and someone's going to bound to criticize the sale. We actually, from some of the stuff we were selling, we were getting criticized for, you know, getting rid of stuff, you know, from the church. You know, we got rid of a couple pews and we got, you know, rid of some other stuff. They're not useful for us. You know, we're keeping the architect. You know, we have a beautiful church with a beautiful architect. We're not getting rid of that. But yet people have to speak their mind and say, well, what about this? Why are you doing this? Or making fun of somebody. That's mankind. You know, we respond a certain way. Martha responded by being busy, 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 busy. That was her downfall. Peter, walking on water with Jesus. Wow, can you imagine that? Walking on water with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, come on. If you want to come out, you could do it. He walked out and he's like, hey, this is cool. I don't know how many feet he walked out, but he probably took 5 steps or something. Went to wherever Jesus was. It could have been more. And then all of a sudden he's kept his eyes on Jesus. Kept on keeping his eyes on Jesus. And all of a sudden, hold it. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, he took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at the problem. Victory was gone. I believe Jesus just reached down and caught him before, you know, either he went all the way in or he caught him before he went all the way in. Peter, one of the greatest people, you know, he lost focus in Jesus. We will lose focus occasionally on things of God. The goal should be that we lessen those amount of times in the future. So in other words, hopefully tomorrow we're going to rely on him more than we did today or yesterday. And then we're going to rely on him more the next day. When we get the headache, maybe we shouldn't run straight to the Tylenol. You know, why don't we just pray, God, you know, heal me, touch this. God wants us to have victory. The next point is how God wants us to respond. Prodigal son walked away proud, came back humbly. Oh, that's how God wants us to respond. God wants us to come to him, not saying, hey, God, I deserve to be saved. I deserve it, you know, and kind of getting all like in God's face, you know, being proud, saying, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. Yes, we deserve it, but God, we need to go to God humbly, not proud, and say, God, I want this healing. I want you to touch, you know, this in my life. I want you to touch the people around me, you know, whatever. The sheep wandered. They, you know, I don't know if they fought from being, you know, wandering. It doesn't say Jesus, it just said Jesus went, or the shepherd went and found and brought the sheep back. Sinful woman poured everything out to Jesus. Everything that she had, she just poured it out, and she was basking in God's presence, like Mary was, in the other, the story of Martha and Mary. The sinful woman had perfume that they said was worth a lot. And she's like pouring it like it's nothing, you know, on Jesus' feet. And it just kind of shows she just went, ignored everything around her, and just basked in Jesus. I don't care how much this has cost. I'm giving it to Jesus. When we buy a house, we should kind of get, we need to give it to Jesus. When we buy stuff, we need to give it to Jesus and just say, these are not, you know, I want you to be in the house with me. I want this house that, you know, we serve the Lord in this house. I want this house to be a blessing for me and everything else. God is moving and God is searching and he wants a relationship with us. We as humans are used to our own way. So when God's way, God's plan comes along in our lives, we sometimes hesitate and we just respond slowly or we don't respond well. It's foreign to us because we have our own things, our own, holy God, this will take away from this from my life. Christian songs are not scripture, but there's a song out now called, When We Fall Apart by Ryan Stevenson. I don't listen to K-Love that much. I love K-Love, but I listen to my Spotify, Christian stuff on the Spotify. And one time, I probably just turned on the radio and this song came on by Ryan Stevenson. And I'm going to read some of this. And I think, again, it's not the scripture, but it's inspired by the scripture. And it's an anointed thing that if this song could touch people in their times of need, their times of struggle, it's okay to cry. It's okay to fall apart. You don't have to try to be strong when you're not. It may take some time to make sense of all your thoughts, but don't ever fight your tears because there is freedom in every drop. Sometimes the only way to heal a broken heart is when we fall apart. We come humbly to Jesus and to say, or to God and just say, heal me. Heal me. Sometimes we have to be broken. Sometimes we have to be lost. Sometimes we have to be desperate. The first song we sang tonight, Joy, very first line says, we're choosing celebration, breaking into freedom. The pain will not define us, but joy will reignite us. Joy, I believe, comes hand in hand with victory. Because if we're victorious, I'm sure we've played board games or one-on-one with somebody with basketball or something. And you, when you win, man, you're like, yeah. And some people are a little bit more, yeah, you know, kind of get in your face. But we're like excited when we win, you know. I play fantasy football every year. That's a downfall of mine. I don't do it for the money. We don't even put money in. And I love doing fantasy football. When I win, I'm excited. So victory and joy goes hand in hand. So if God gives us the victory, God will give us the joy, and then that should lessen those, especially those who have fear, struggles of fear and anxiety in their lives. You know, the other song we sang tonight, See a Victory, says, I'm going to see a victory, I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. This song just came out two Fridays ago by Chris McClarney, which I believe is Bethel. I don't know. But, you know, he says, why should I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for the power of riches or fame? My God is better than all those things. And then says the chorus goes, I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I can speak to the mountain. It's time to move. My God is bigger, better, and stronger, and greater than you. We have that passage in Scripture says you could have faith to move a mountain. Now, I don't think we should have faith to move the mountain just because we don't want to move the mountain. You know, you're driving and you don't want to go across the mountain, or you don't want to go through the tunnel, or whatever, you know. You know, metaphorically, but it's also saying we can have that much faith. you know, to do that. Because God working in us. We need to be thirsty. We need to be hungry. We need to be humble. And as Paul and Silas, they had victory. Whoops, hold on for a second. They had victory in jail, of all places. Paul had victory in his thorn in the flesh. When Peter when Stephen was being stoned, he was praying for God. Hold on for a sec. This is messing up. Cool. Everything. Okay, here we go. As Stephen was being stoned, he was praying to God to forgive his people that were stoning him. He had the victory. He was at peace for dying because he knew why he was dying. He was dying to glorify God. You know, because he was doing his ministry and he was not sorry. He had victory. The sinful woman got victory in her life despite her past. We see others receiving victory in our lives around us as despite their struggles. I've known people that were horrible things that were horribly going wrong with their life, but they had victory. It doesn't make sense to the world. How in the world can you have anxiety? How in the world can you have fear? How in the world did you have these hurts from before and, you know, by something was done to you or around you that would affect you? How can you have victory in these things? It doesn't make sense to the world. But God wants us to have the victory. God wants, absolutely doesn't want our lives to live in captive in these issues. He wants us to have victory. We don't know if Paul was ever freed from his thorn in the flesh. It doesn't matter. He had victory in that. As we sang in that song, and I just said that word from the song Joy, and I think I just went past it. We're choosing celebration, breaking into freedom. We need to choose now. If you that are here or are on Facebook are struggling with something in your life, God doesn't want us to struggle with those things. Again, God may not take them away, but God wants us to have victory in those, in the anxiety. Doesn't make sense, but God can do it. God wants us to have victory even while living in fear. God wants us to have victory even though we know these things that happen to us. But it all comes down to us choosing. Every morning, do we wake up and say, God, what do you have in store for me? God, I want you to go with me and have victory. God, I want to be the light that you want me to be. So many different things that we could be praying for in the morning. People get up in the morning, and I'm kind of guilty of this myself, and we just get up in the morning, we hurry up and go to work. You know, and then we kind of just start out the day losing track of God. Should be our focus. You know, we could work on our job and still, you know, we have to concentrate, of course, on our job, but during the in-between times, you know, or during those breaks, after work, before work, let's focus on God. You know, let's walk on that water and have victory. Let's receive those things, whether we have the thorn in the flesh or not. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to just be with us, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, just to speak to everyone here, Lord, everyone on Facebook that are going through these struggles, Lord. I ask you to just help them right now to make that decision right now. Not 5 minutes from now, not 10 minutes from now, right now, that they would choose that and the victory, Lord. And they would have faith that they're going to get that victory. They're going to get that joy. And tomorrow when we wake up, we just go, God, I want another victorious day. I want another joyful day. Help them to make that decision right now. Help them make that decision right now. So at this time, keep your eyes closed in a worshipful manner. And I used to do, and I don't really feel led now to do that, that you raise your hand, but take time now. Say, God, I want that victory. I want that joy. I want that victory. I want that joy. Take time right now. It's as simple as saying that, what I just said. God, I want that victory that I just heard about. I want that joy that I just heard about. So then I don't have to live a miserable life. But I keep my eyes focused on you. Just give you a few more moments just to do this, whether you're, again, at home or here. Oh, Jesus. Work in us, Lord. Work through us, Lord. Give us that victory, Lord. Give us that joy, Lord. If you're struggling with these issues, mental health issues or physical issues, you could reach out to God now and ask for healing. And just have faith there. And just keep on praying. Keep on praying that, but also pray that, God, you give me a victory. Till you choose to take this away from me. Give me that victory till you choose to take this away from me. Whether you take it or not, give me that victory. Jesus. Jesus. If you need prayer, as everybody just keeps on a worshipful mood, you can come up here. We can pray for you. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Lord. You're so good, Lord. So good, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. God, I just ask you to just be with everyone that's been listening to tonight. Lord, give them that victory, Lord. Let them not forget what you gave me tonight for them, Lord. That they would focus on you. They would receive that joy and that victory, Lord. Go with us as we go our separate ways to take that joy and victory with us, Lord, tonight. That we're not going to look at the situations of the world around us, but we're going to look to you. We're going to look to you. Jesus, Jesus. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Remember that you are blessed and highly favored. All right. If you need to talk, you need prayer, you can come up front here, but if not, just have a good week.